This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The opening ceremonies of the 2014 Winter Olympic Games came and went on Friday, pretty much without incident, but with tons of fanfare. Here with his review and a preview of some of the action to come is the Boston Globe's John Powers, who's in Sochi. John, welcome back.
It's lovely to be here at the first winter-summer games.
Yeah, I know. Now, one of the rings didn't light up properly, but otherwise, tell me about the high points in the opening ceremony and perhaps other low points you saw.
Well, I think what was interesting is it was almost going back to a time capsule to the mid-18th century. We had everything that was pre-Tsarist, all of the glories of Mother Russia. We had a whole bunch of people carrying the torch at the end, and we were promised by the Gazprom people that the torch would not go out this time, unlike it had on the relay. And we saw quite an odd couple lighting the cauldron, Irina Rodnina, the famous pair skater, and Vladislav Trechak, who did not have a glove on when he had the torch in his other hand. It was also, I had better seats than Mr. Putin, which you would think would be unusual for a man that spent $50 billion on these games.
Well, it's interesting that the former goalkeeper, Mr. Tretiak, lit the Olympic flame. Was Mike Ruzioni anywhere in evidence?
He was not. As a matter of fact, what everyone kind of forgets is that Tretiak was out of the game when Mike scored his famous goal. He had already been pulled. But looking at Mr. Tretiak now, he wouldn't need any extra padding if he wanted to go back in and play goal.
John, it is, of course, hard to know where to begin when talking about the Olympics. The competition has just begun in 15 sports, 98 events in total, 294 medals up for grabs. But let us know what some of the top stories are that especially interest you.
I think what's interesting this week, and we actually saw the other day, the Russians are so poor at men's figure skating now that they had to take Evgeny Plushenko out of the deep freeze at age 31 to put him in a team event. He looked great, but it was kind of like Austin Plushenko. Austin Powers kind of coming back from the dead here. So that's going to be one story, whether he can get one more medal. And Bodie Miller, who had a spectacular training in downhill, he could win the downhill gold medal after everyone had already written him off. We've got a couple of interesting stories next week. No American man has ever won the same event three times at the Winter Games. We've got Sean White, the former Flying Tomato, going in the halfpipe, and Shawnee Davis in the speed skating 1000.
New events at Sochi include ski halfpipe, ski slope style, snowboard slope style, snowboard parallel slalom, figure skating team event, and of course, luge team relay. How do you compete as a team in the luge?
The luge is actually, it kind of goes one after another. You hit a touch pad when you finish, and that opens up the gate for the next slider.
Ah.
It's a thing, remember the old show called Name That Tune, where you had to run it and kind of ring a bell? This is what that's like.
Leading up to the games, there was a lot of talk about the readiness of the facilities and the hotels. How do things look on the ground today in Sochi?
In terms of the venues, they look spectacular. And these are some of the best winter sites we have seen. What's interesting also is that they have them in individual clusters right down by the Black Sea. All the ice events are within walking distance. That's very new. I don't think that's happened since Lake Placid. And all of the ski events are up in the mountains, which is only about 30, 35 minutes away from here. What's been kind of left until the last minute are the media things. A lot of people don't have shower curtains. A lot of people don't have lamps. But everything seems to be functioning. And again, what's being done here is being done for the athletes. And these are great facilities for them, especially given the fact that this was a Stalinist summer resort. To turn it into a winter wonderland in just 7 years was pretty impressive.
John, we have a little bit of tape of Andrew Weiss, the former National Security Council's Russian Affairs Director, talking about Sochi as an Olympic venue. Here's what he had to say.
It's something akin to Malibu or Palm Springs. It's a place where they all hang out. Putin uses it as a place where he greets foreign dignitaries all the time.
That sounds very nice. Maybe the USOC should make its bid for Malibu or Palm Springs in 2022.
That's right. As a matter of fact, what is strange is when you're walking to the stadium and you see behind the palm trees snow-capped mountains.
Yeah.
You know, everyone said that this was on the Black Sea. It is on the Black Sea. Literally, I can walk outside of the stadium and be taking a midnight dip in about 5 minutes.
There was, of course, a great deal of criticism of Russia's handling of the Olympic buildup. Has that died down now that the competition is underway?
I think so. I mean, one of the things that clearly there was a lot of talk about non-sports things, and people, I think, were upset at the beginning that they give the Olympic Games to a country that was not so big on human rights, that didn't appear to be living up to the Olympic ideals. There was a lot of anger about the anti-gay propaganda law that was passed last year. That seems to be at least kind of dissipating. Once the Games begin, the focus goes to what's going on here. But still, there's still a lot of apprehension here about, you know, people hoping that these Games come off well. And I think when it's over, you'll have a huge sigh of relief, more than jubilation, from lots of people who are here.
John Powers is covering the Sochi Winter Games for the Boston Globe, and he's been our Olympic guy since 1994 when the Games were in Lillehammer. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
До свидания, Bill.